When we look out in American society, we notice one thing that's very crystal clear. And that is that many marriages are in trouble. You teach public high school or public school period, you find that out from students. How many marriages are in trouble? How many young people come from broken homes or homes where there's either one biological parent or a step-parent, or several of my kids are being raised by grandparents at school. So it is an issue of great importance in our society. Some marriages don't even last a year. I remember a marriage I performed at a congregation several years ago. These two young people, they had known each other for years. They seemed to be greatly in love. And so I married them one Saturday, and in less than a year, they were divorced. And I just couldn't believe it. So you never know. Why is this? Well, I found a reference where one couple gave advice on how to have a long and happy marriage. They had been married over 50 years. So they probably have some very good advice. And I broke it up into two parts by looking at their information, reasons why marriages fail, and then looking at why marriages succeed. And I think every single one of these should be written down, regardless of how long you've been married or even if you are married. These can help other people in their marriages. Reasons why marriages fail. Number one, an unforgiving spirit. And I often see this in marriages that eventually fail. One or both of the spouses are unwilling to forgive. Forgiveness is critical to harmony. The Bible points this out. All of these really come straight from the Bible. It is our ultimate marriage guide. For in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul, when he wrote to the church there, told them this about forgiveness. Colossians 3, 13. He says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. See, he says there that you need to treat your spouse as God treats you. God will forgive you, then you need to have a forgiving spirit for your spouse. And that will go a long way in keeping harmony in the marriage. Another reason why some marriages fail, financial pressure. And of course, we see that in our American society where so much revolves around money and wealth and materialism and possession. Paul tells us, though, don't spend your life trying to get more and more. It never works. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul tells Timothy to tell the church where he's preaching these words, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So many marriages fail because of that, because of financial pressure. Worldliness and materialism has destroyed many marriages. The English Standard Version, this is how it quotes Titus 2:12. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Self-control. Marriages must be self-controlled, especially when it comes to financial pressure, or that will not last long. That cannot be put as a priority. Another reason why some marriages fail, of course, is obvious. Unfaithfulness. The Old Testament taught one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, you shall not commit adultery. Well, that was verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. Jesus, of course, takes this, Matthew 19, 9, and says the same thing. Avoid situations where you might be tempted. I remember Billy Graham in his autobiography talking about he never once met with a woman without having someone else in there with him. Never one single time. So avoid situations where you might be tempted. And God doesn't lead you to fall in love with someone else once you're married. If you're married to someone, God does not lead you to fall in love with someone else. You might fall in love with someone else, but it wasn't God that did it. So avoid those situations. Secret sins. How many times have you heard on TV or read about a husband or a wife finding out that their spouse had been gamblers for years and years and years? Secret sins. The Bible warns about how destructive secret sins can be. In Psalms 19, I believe this is a psalm of David, but in Psalm 19 and verse 12, we're told this about secret sins. Read it with me. Psalms 19, verse 12. Yeah, it's considered a psalm of David. I thought so. Verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Secret faults. And then in Psalms 90, the psalmist reiterates this in Psalm 90 and verse 8. Where he uses a slightly different term. He says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Husbands and wives cannot have secret sin, secret faults. They will eventually be discovered and will cause all kinds of harm and disharmony and all kinds of difficulties. Another reason why many marriages fail is because of the parenting differences between the two parents. The parents need to be on the same page. One of my best friends growing up, him and his first wife were not on the same page. They had vastly different parenting guidelines. And that caused an immense amount of trouble. So parents must decide, and hopefully before they have children, how the children are going to be raised. You know, what are going to be priorities? What's discipline going to look like? What's work going to look like? Those things are essential. If you seek to follow Christ and teach your kids to follow Him, everything else will fall in place. But if you put anything else first, besides seeking to follow Christ, everything will not fall in place. Another reason why some marriages fail, according to this couple, interference from others. Overbearing or controlling family or friends can ruin a marriage. And they certainly can. If the parents, the in-laws or friends interfere, that can cause tremendous harm to the marriage. The husband and the wife must remember that when they are married, they become one flesh, Jesus said. So they become united. They're to be in harmony with one another. So interference can greatly harm a marriage and even cause it to fail. And of course, the ever-present selfishness. Spouses need to consider their spouse's opinion first. We need to have that mind of humility that Jesus had. In Philippians 2, Paul describes this kind of mind, and it's very important for husbands and wives. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Your spouse's interests need to be the most important interest in your life. That will greatly help marriages not to fail. And of course, that goes along with self-pity. That will also harm a marriage quickly. Something else to watch for in a marriage that could cause it to fail: emotional and spiritual immaturity. If you're still in Philippians chapter 3 this time, Paul said this in verses 14 and 15. "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Growth is essential in any marriage. It's essential. Uncontrolled emotions are going to cause nothing but problems in a marriage. Certainly there is progression and there's growing in a marriage. But it has to be there, or marriages will fail. There must be this growth in marriages. Each spouse needs to grow emotionally, needs to grow spiritually. And if you look back and you see that you have not grown much either way in the past 5 or 10 years, then something is wrong and your marriage may be in trouble. So look out for that. That growth is so very, very important. Dishonesty. This seems to be very obvious. Never lie, mislead, or deceive your spouse. And those are words that you need to take to your grave. Never lie, never mislead, never deceive your spouse. That comes from people who have been married over 50 years. Just don't do it. Be honest. Even if it's hurtful, even if it's painful, it is still going to be the best thing to do, is to be honest and to never lie, deceive, or mislead. And then pride. Pride can rear its ugly head in any sort of relationship. We go back to the wise man in Proverbs 29. He tells this about pride. Proverbs 29, verse 23. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. The wise man says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." Give your spouse grace and love, and you'll never regret it. Don't think it's always about you. Those are some of the things they said would cause a marriage to fail. Here are 6 things they said would help a marriage succeed or last. Number 1, when the going got tough, we hung in there. If you're still in Proverbs, turn back to Proverbs 5, 15. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. So many husbands and wives give up at the least little thing. And being a preacher and watching marriages and doing marriage counseling, I see this as a real issue. Many spouses will give up over the least little unimportant thing. Perseverance is the key. Keep on going regardless how tough it gets. Jesus said, when you get married, you become one flesh. Realizing that, you want to persevere. If you look at your marriage as one body, you would want it to persevere. You wouldn't want the arm to be against the leg or the neck to be against the foot. If the foot's hurting, you don't want to chop it off. You want to persevere. Support one another. They also said, number two, if necessary, get counsel. Again, Proverbs has some wonderful advice about getting counsel. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. He who heeds counsel is wise. There are a lot of wonderful Christian counselors out there that can do a great deal of good. I remember one time, been years ago, when a lady came in and was talking to me about her marriage and how rocky it was and how bad it was. And she said, you know, I think it's time for me to leave him. I think it's time for me to get a divorce. And my advice to her was, don't do it. Don't do it. She didn't have any biblical reason for getting a divorce. Times were tough, but that was it. So if times get tough, talk to people who have gone through maybe similar situations. And they can have advice for you. So talk to those who have been married for many years. Number three, have good friends. The Bible says a friend loves at all times. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Both of those come from Proverbs. Having good friends, this couple said, can really help you have a lasting marriage. Supportive churches. I don't think many couples can last if they're having trouble without having a supportive church, without being involved in a church in many different ways. And I'm talking about churches that are faithful to God's Word. That's essential for any couple to have a lasting marriage, is to find a faithful, supportive church and stay there. It's essential. They also said something that helped them was they took special vacations. They went away from the stress of everyday life. Of course, Jesus did this himself. Often he would have to, things get stressful, Jesus would have to leave and go off and be by himself somewhere. Usually the Bible talks about him going into the wilderness or deserted places to be by himself. So if Jesus did it, certainly couples have to as well. And the last one, and how critical this one is. For a successful marriage, for a marriage to last, they had to learn how to solve problems together. Not individually, but together. In other words, they were united in their efforts to solve problems, regardless of what kind of problem it was. an emotional problem, a spiritual problem, a physical problem, a financial problem, didn't make any difference. If they were united and they were learning how to solve problems, their marriage would last. Learn from the mistakes of others. We know how other people's marriages didn't last. So learn from others. That is also great advice. You know, even though we live in a society where so many of our friends and neighbors and family and even church members are breaking up, their marriages aren't lasting, that's not a given. It is possible to have a long and happy marriage. Does it come easy? Of course not. Nothing good ever does. But you can have one. You can have a long and happy marriage. But you have to let the Word of God guide you. All of those things we've talked about, all of that advice, all of those principles, comes right out of God's Word. So if we allow it to dwell in our hearts, if we allow it to be used in our lives, we can have long and happy and lasting marriages. Not only does our country need it, our church needs it. Well, this morning's lesson was an evangelistic one. There may be some out there who realize, I need to make some changes. I need to make some changes. Doug's going to lead us in an invitation song. Think about the words of the song. And if you need to respond to that invitation, don't wait until tomorrow or next week. Come now as we stand and sing.